Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning, I'm Brady Safranik. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you, as always, by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Today, I've got with Habitat for Humanity, Lois Peterson, Colleen Curvin, and Bill Tyrell all in studio. Guys, thank you for taking the time here this morning.
Thank you.
Absolutely, and let's just kick this thing off by talking about what the big news is today. You're taking apps for a house, is that correct?
We will begin taking apps a week from today. We have our big kickoff meeting at 7 p.m. at the American National Bank on July 9th, a week from today, 7 p.m. till 8 p.m. That'll be the first time that apps will actually be available to be handed out. And then we will take apps through August 17th.
Okay. The meeting that you're going to have next Monday, for someone that maybe hasn't attended one before, what are they going to learn at this meeting?
They're going to they'll get an opportunity to see pictures of the house. They'll get applications. They'll find out what all the requirements are for being an applicant homeowner. We'll be able to give them a pretty very close estimate of what their costs will be on the house and what their monthly rent or their mortgage payment will be. It's a zero interest mortgage payment for the life, generally 30 years. We used to do them a little bit shorter, but in order to keep the payments low enough that people can afford them, we've had to go out to 30 years, which is pretty standard for most people anyway. So anyway, they'll find out about that. They'll find out what the financial requirements are, and then they'll find out, you know, we'll explain to them the sweat equity factors that are involved in the application. Once you're chosen as a homeowner, then you sign a contract. Part of that contract is that if you're a single parent homeowner, you'll have 200 sweat equity hours that you have to put in before we can close on the house.
And what does that mean exactly?
Well, in the past, it's meant working on the house or other things that Habitat has. This is a house that a former owner was able to advance herself and got a better job. And so part of our contract with our homeowners is Habitat has the right of first refusal to buy back. And so if a homeowner buys it, we pay the homeowner back essentially what they paid on the house, unless their taxes and insurance. But the house payments themselves, the homeowner received all of her house payments back. And so essentially she'd lived in the house since 2009, rent-free, only had to pay insurance and taxes. So, but anyway, so the house will be, it's a finished house. It was about, I can't remember which house we called it. It was around five, I think. It was house number five, as I best recall. So they'll find out what's involved in being a homeowner through Habitat, how we handle the taxes and insurance. It's pretty much like anything else. There's a set up a fund available that as part of your hat. Your taxes and your insurance are prorated over 12 months, and Habitat pays them, but they're included. Then we add that amount into your rent payment, and so typically it runs about anywhere from the house payments themselves run from about $400 on our early houses that were less expensive to $500 and some dollars with an escrow of maybe $100 to $150 a month. So, but they'll find out all the requirements, what's involved. You have to have a solid work history, because we don't give anybody a house. They have to buy it. They have to be able to show stability in their work and their income, that they have sufficient income to pay for it. The upper income level for a house on Habitat is 60% of the median income for Johnson County for the year 2018. for a family of four. I've got that figure here somewhere, but I'll look it up a little later. But anyway, they'll find out the income varies by the size of the required income varies by the size of the family. Also, we have to look up and see that the house payment, the taxes, the insurance, all added together can't be more than 30% of your disposable income. So those are sort of the main requirements. We have to identify identity for all family members. We have to do credit checks. We need 3 years of tax history, the last 3 years of your income tax. We will check with landlords, employers to do verifications, make sure that you've been a good renter in the past, that you kept current on your bills. And so those are kind of the main aspects that we look at in buying a house.
Now, when you're taking applications, approximately each time you do a house, how many applications do you get in for that?
You know, it varies. Sometimes we might have as few as 15. Sometimes we've had as many as like 30, 35. It just, we're never quite sure what we're going to have, and it kind of depends on what the current situations are around.
I'm sure when you get that many, there's plenty of them that meet all the qualifications. How then do you go about choosing one from the others? You just throw them in a hat and randomly pick one out?
No, we have a committee that goes out and does individual interviews. The family has to show a need, that they have a need to improve the quality and the safety of their current housing. And then it's based on need is a big factor. Colleen chairs the committee that does the interviews. Colleen and Lois both participate on that, and I can probably let them talk a little bit more about that.
Sure, yeah. Tell us a little bit about the interview process. Is it when you're kind of weeding through them and dwindling it down to one, is it kind of the same as if you were, you know, interviewing someone for a job? You just kind of go through and how you get a kind of a feeling for people, that sort of thing?
I think that has a lot to do with it. But we have a committee of three who go and meet with each individual family in their home, so that we can see their conditions and they can tell us why they need the home. We go over lots of things at that point in time, and every qualified applicant gets about an hour interview. And then the three of us, each time, go over what has happened, and then we give recommendations to the board.
Okay. And you know, while we're talking about houses coming up, and one of the things you had mentioned, Bill, was that if the person living in the house, you know, moves for whatever reason, they got a new mm-hmm. job, they have more money, they're building a better house, or just mm-hmm. moving to a different town, whatever the case may be, Habitat then has the first chance to buy that house back?
Correct.
Okay. And do you buy it back then? And I think you went over this a little bit earlier. Was it for the price you sold it to them for, or basically just what they've paid thus far?
We buy it back from basically what they've paid so far.
Okay.
And that's in order. Generally, when people get a Habitat house, we sell it to them at our cost with a little bit of a factor built in to cover some of the expenses that we put into it. But they get a house at cost at a zero interest. And so typically, if a person got a Habitat house, and if we didn't have that requirement, they could turn around and put it on the market and make $20,000 or $25,000 within the first year that they own the house. So they, in order to prevent that, we have the right of first refusal that has to come back. I would also add that the first Habitat house we built in Buffalo, the family paid it off this spring, and so we're kind of proud of that fact, and they paid that house off. That's now their house. They have it to sell. They can do anything with it they want.
Oh, so once if they pay it off in full, then
it's theirs.
Then it's theirs.
It's theirs. Okay. That's absolutely theirs, and they are in the process of building a new house that better accommodates the size of their family. As their kids are older, they've got several, you know, I think three or four children, and so this was a one bathroom, minimal, the smallest house, first two were the smallest houses we've built, and we've tried to add flexibility in the one room of the house, and this house that we currently have is the same way. It can either be an extension to the living room kitchen, or it can be a third bedroom. And so, depending on the family and how they choose to use that room. So we've tried to put a little bit of flexibility into those.
Well, and I think you said that this was the first house you guys did in Buffalo?
No, that's the one that was paid off.
Oh, the first one to be paid off by the people?
This is, I believe, was house number five, but I wouldn't swear to it. We've actually built 11 houses, and unfortunately we had one that had to go back. The person took bankruptcy, and it was ended up being a kind of a long drawn out affair. We got our money back on it, but we didn't have the option to make that available to another family because it was tied up in bankruptcy court.
Okay. One of the other things that's big for Habitat, of course, is volunteers. Mm-hmm. Anyone that would like to help out, how do they go about that? How do they contact you guys?
I'm glad you brought that up because we have a really serious need for volunteers at this time. They can call Habitat Place at 684-5220, and we will have volunteer applications there. Essentially, it's just an application form you sign up so we know something about you. You know a little bit about Habitat. You know that what's involved as far as you know how much you're covered as far as liability, that type of thing. Anybody that's injured on Habitat property or anything is covered by our insurance. And
so if they come build a house and fall off the roof, you're not just going to say, leave.
No, we won't do that. We did have a person fall out of the tree, cutting down a tree and break his leg, and our insurance covered his medical expenses.
Ouch.
So, that's the only injury that I can think of other than a few blisters and minor cuts, but there's just a lot of things that can go on. We're also in serious need of board members because we've got a number of board members who are essentially leaving the community. And so anyone interested, we would love to have some board members. It doesn't involve, we need people who enjoy thinking, solving problems, because there's all, as with any nonprofit, there's always problems to come up with, to figure out ideas for raising money. We need a volunteer coordinator and recruiter. Someone who enjoys doing that would be a tremendous help to us because keeping the store staffed and stuff at all times is a real issue. And so we definitely could use volunteers that want to work, but also we need volunteers that think and know people. A lot of being a good volunteer is knowing people who you can get to help. And so this year during our garage sale, Colleen had talked with a number of people, but we found that she got the boys' soccer team to volunteer because they needed to do some community service. And so they were a tremendous asset when it came to moving stuff from Habitat Place and from storage to out to the fairgrounds and helping set up out there. And so for groups that need volunteer activities, Habitat's a wonderful place to get an opportunity to do some of that community service. And we're always looking for people to do that.
Well, in some cases, you know, people can learn a skill as well. You know, as you're doing some of the construction work, you know, maybe you're learning something you didn't know before, and that's always beneficial as well.
Yeah, we have one lot available, and at the current time, we don't have any plans for immediate construction because we've got to get the family in this house that we're doing, move from there. And then before we start a house, we have to have enough money to pay for it. And so we'll be in the process of raising money to get to pay for the house. And so whenever we select a family for a house, we have to have a debt-free house that we can turn over to them And so we can't have debt of our own involved in that house. So but we've got one more lot, and then we'll see what goes from there. But right now, the first primary concern for the next year is getting a new family in this house and then beginning the process of raising money to pay for the next house.
Okay. And donations, if people want to donate, whether it be just to the store, that sort of thing, how do they go about that?
They can come to the store, and we have to be somewhat selective, and we have to turn down things. We find things that just don't sell at either the store or at the sale. A lot of things that will sell at the sale that don't sell at the store, and we put them in storage and then have them there. But there are some things, like this year, we've had a lot of mattresses. For 2 years, we sold mattresses like crazy at the sale. This year, DeSava had their big sale. Nobody bought a mat. I think we only sold like three out of about a dozen mattresses that we had. So right now, we're having to be really selective about what we take in the way of mattresses, because anything we don't sell at the sale, for the most part, we have a guy that comes from Colorado and goes and takes the majority of it, but some stuff he doesn't, and so then we have to go to the dump and pay to dispose of it. And so I've already taken about close to a dozen really bad mattresses to the dump just since the sale, so that we seem to collect in the middle of the night.
They just, people want to dump their old mattress.
They just merely, yes, and we, oh, there's some atrocious stuff that's came in the last.
So we can tell people, if your mattress is disgusting, keep it.
And if your furniture is disgusting, keep
just
it.
Take it to the dump.
And take it to the dump.
It's not for Habitat to pay for that dumping fee.
Because we, you know, I've paid $130 in dump fees in the last 2 weeks of stuff that was left that just is not sellable. And so we really would appreciate people if they bring it during store hours so we can look at it and say, yes, this we can sell. We'd like to have that. No, this we can't sell.
Well, see, now you need, where you have your drop-off area, you need some cameras. And then when you see someone come at night and drop the mattress off, you'll know who it is. You can go put it back in their front yard.
You know, we talk about that. And when we get enough money, I think we're going to have those. So, because it would really help if we could call up and say, oh, we noticed that you did a drop-off last night, and that's not sellable material. Would you come and pick it up?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
and maybe if we did that a few times, some of those midnight arrivals would slow down, or at least might slow them some.
Certainly. So, again, we'll talk about the kickoff, which is next Monday, July the 9th, and that's at A&B Bank, and it's an informational meeting for people and the first chance they can get applications.
Correct.
Okay. And is that just free, anyone that thinks they need
some
anyone,
info? Yeah. More than anyone that, you know, and if anyone that has someone that can't go that night, you know, you're certainly welcome to come pick up an application for a friend, a relative, or whatever. And learn information so that you can tell them whether, and they'll have a much better idea of whether or not they will qualify as a Habitat family, what's going to be expected of them, what their requirements will be.
And, you know, one of the things we talked about before we wrap it up here was the store. Tell us exactly where the store is located and the hours you guys are open.
Okay, the store is located at 310 Williams, which is next to the one street short of the old bypass on the south side of town, right across from the Sunrise Trailer Court. It's our store hours are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 2.
9 to 2?
10 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
10 to 2?
10 to 2.
All right. And anything else you guys that we didn't hit on this morning, you guys want to chime in with before we wrap it up?
We have a coat sale coming up. I think it'll be in late September. However, we're considering August as well, so we'll make that decision at our July meeting. And we have an antique sale as well.
Okay. Are you looking for donations for either one of those?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So people can drop off coats or any antiques that you might have?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Talking with Lois Peterson, Colleen Curvin, and Bill Tyrell with Habitat for Humanity. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. And I just, again, like to express the need we have for volunteers. And we're looking always looking for good board members, that people that want to come in and make a difference. Because we've put 10 families in homes. We'll have 11th family in a home. Within the next 2 months, probably.
Yeah, it certainly makes a difference for those families, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Absolutely. Once again, that is Bill Tyrell with Habitat for Humanity. And if you happen to miss part of this interview, you can find the whole thing at our website, BighornMountainRadio.com. Community Speaks, brought to you by The Prescription Shop. Keep those dials tuned, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS.